I know what it is to be on that potter's wheel. And sometimes feel like the mouse just running on the wheel, not getting anywhere. And then by the time God gets done, you know God's good. I have thoroughly enjoyed myself this week. I love to be around you folks. I feel like I'm at home when I come here. And I appreciate that. I love to spend time with your pastor. He's got a good spirit. He encourages me. I love to spend time with his family. I don't know if you realize how blessed you are to have Rick Moore here as your pastor. I hope you pray for him and support him. I hope you make sure he's getting paid all that he can. 25 years. That says something about him right there. You know how long the stay is for the average pastor, independent Baptist, fundamental Baptist pastor, average? 2 years. That is ridiculous. Very few men can say, I've been here 25 years. And I commend you, preacher. And I believe that one day God will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Being in the ministry is not always easy. It's rewarding. It's wonderful. I wouldn't want to do anything else. I don't think I could be happy doing anything else. But it's not always easy. And you're blessed to have Brother Rick Moore here. And I think when we stand before the Lord and this revival comes up, that He'll say to you, well done. You've been here faithfully. There's a great spirit in this church. I believe you want to see God work. And that's what it takes. A hunger and a thirst for righteousness. And God's ready to feel that hunger and thirst. So I appreciate you being faithful like you have this week. Good to see visitors. We always appreciate visitors coming. But you know, it's good to see family. And every time we get together, and I think it's the same thing here, it's kind of like a family reunion. And that's what it ought to be. 3 times a week, and more than that during revivals and mission conferences and special meetings. But thank you so much. Thank you for those who work so hard for the apartment, just a lovely apartment. Thank you for those who brought water and orange juice and different things this week. And I am so very, very grateful. And I look forward to one of these days, if the Lord would have it to happen, come back again. Pray for me as I leave. I've got more revival meetings this year than I've had in a long, long time. And while I love to preach revivals and I look forward to it, I also have the responsibility of a pastor and I want to be wise. So you pray for me and I would appreciate that. Go with me to the book of Ezekiel tonight. I've asked God today, all day today, that He would not let this meeting tonight be like a sigh. Where at the end of the service, everybody goes, I want it to be at the end of the service where everybody goes, whoa! Because we're ready to go do something for the Lord. And if you've had revival, that's the way it is. Because revival doesn't end with the amen. But revival goes on and on and on. The length of the revival depends on us. Shame on us. We're so guilty of taking God for granted and allowing Him to slip out of the forefront of our thoughts. We're in Ezekiel chapter 3, by the way. Anywhere in Ezekiel's good, but we'll be in Ezekiel chapter 3 tonight. So I appreciate you. Let's get started tonight. Look at verses 17, 18, and 19. Ezekiel 3, verses 17, 18, and 19. The Bible says, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. I'm going to preach along this line this evening. Bloody hands. Bloody hands. Father, thank you for these dear people. And Lord, you know my heart. I just want to be a blessing tonight. And God, I pray that you'd bless the preaching of your word. Already we've been blessed. I thank you, Lord, for all the work that's gone into this meeting, the prayers that preceded the meeting and continued through the meeting. And God, I look forward to what you're going to do even now. I'm glad that you're still in the revival business, God. I'm glad that you still breathe afresh on your people. God, we need some fresh oil tonight. We need to finish well. God, I pray that you'd bless in such a way that folks will leave here saying it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. God, I pray you'd bless in such a way tonight that you'd be exalted in every life, every heart. And God, that we would have that zeal for the house of God that we preached about the other night. Father, we need you right now more than we need our next meal. And my dear God, I beg you that you'd have liberty first in me and in every life and heart here. God, break our hearts for the lost world that we live in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ezekiel was a prophet in exile. He was carried away to Babylon between the first and the final deportations of Judah. He was a prophet out of the land, like Daniel in Babylon, or like John on Patmos. He reminded Israel of her national sins. That's what brought her to the place. She did not let the land lay fallow, and God got what was His. He took her out of the land for 70 years. But Ezekiel was a prophet during that time. He warned them. He preached of judgment, but he also preached of redemption and restoration. He sustained Israel with prophecies of restoration and glory under the Davidic monarchy. Now that hasn't happened yet, but write it down. It's going to happen because it's in the Word of God. And if God said it, you can take it to the bank. It's going to happen. In chapters 1 through 3, God prepared His man. God always has to prepare His man. We all have to go through the school of hard knocks. We all have to go through hard things in life. It's just God's preparation. We all are on the wheel until God molds us to His will. That is God's plan for us. God prepared him. In chapter 1, verse 3, God called him. In chapter 2, verse 2, God filled him with His Holy Spirit. In chapter 2, verse 3, God commissioned him. In chapter 3, verse 3, he was filled with the Word of God. God prepares a man to do the work that God has called him to do. It may be through education. I know we learn through this end, or we learn through this end, but that's our choice. God prepares the man for the work. He was prepared by God, prepared to go to the house of Israel and deliver the message that God had given him to deliver. Then in chapter 3, verses 10 through 21, including those verses we read tonight, God was very specific with Ezekiel. He said that he wanted Ezekiel to be a watchman under the house of Israel. What a great responsibility a watchman has. Souls, the health of the city, life and death are in his hands and dependent upon Him doing the job on the wall that God has called him to do. He must be ever on guard, ever alert. A watchman cannot become preoccupied with something else because the city is depending on him. His attention cannot be drawn away from the task at hand. He cannot become drowsy or divided or deluded. His ears have to be always open. His eyes have to be always scanning. His senses have to be keen and alert. Souls are depending on him. Life and death, the city is depending on him being the watchman that they need him to be. He must be single in his focus. He's a watchman with grave responsibility. And he cannot allow his focus to be diverted from his job. A watchman must be at his post faithfully. He can't shirk his responsibility. Too much is at stake. The watchman's job is to warn the city of imminent danger should there be an attack from the enemy. In verse 17, God said, Ezekiel, give them warning from me. Ezekiel, tell them what I told you to tell them. Give them warning from me. This is important. Don't miss this, Ezekiel. Don't miss this. Don't let your attention be divided. I'm giving you a grave responsibility, Ezekiel. Don't become preoccupied. Tell them. Don't let the message slip to the back burner. Don't think this is not important. I want them told. I love people. And you got to tell them. This was important. This mattered to God. Tell them what I told you to tell them. You know what? That's what God told us. That's exactly what God told us. It's the same responsibility that Ezekiel had, God's given to us. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. God's told us, tell them. Don't keep it a secret. Don't become preoccupied. Don't get caught up in everything else. The main thing is to keep the main thing. And the main thing is the salvation of lost souls. There are times I'm ashamed to report to you that we go a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, maybe longer without seeing anybody saved in our services. That convicts me. That breaks my heart. The main thing is to bring people out of the darkness into the light. The main thing is to tell them about Christ and see people saved. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He began that portion of Scripture, saying all power is given to me in heaven and earth. He said, you go tell them. And then he said, Lord, I'm with you all the way, even to the end of the earth. I believe that the church is the strongest when it's going after souls. The church is the most blessed when it's hungry for lost souls. The church is the most powerful when it's hungry to see somebody get saved. Lo, I'm with you all the way, even to the end of the world. Tell them. Warn them. Stand on the wall, church. Feel your place. Don't let your attention be divided. This is the main thing. Warn them. Jesus is coming. Souls are dying. Hell is real. Heaven is real. Nobody has to go to hell. Everybody can go to heaven. If you don't tell them, who will? I'll tell you who'll tell them. Jehovah's Witnesses will tell them. Most of them will put Baptists to shame. Who'll tell them? Cults are busy robbing Baptist churches of members. Because we are today building churches 1,000 miles wide and 2 inches deep. Because we're not teaching the Word of God anymore. And I'm not referring to this church. I'm referring to the church in a corporate sense. We're living in the Laodicean age, and that is absolutely true. Cults prey upon Baptist churches. Well, I like the singing over there. Well, I like the feeling over there. I like the excitement over there. I like the tingle over there. I like the truth over here. I like the preaching of the Word of God over here. I'm not going anywhere except to heaven one of these days. Being faithful. Bloom where God plants you. We're going to see three things tonight. The recounting, the responsibility, and the results. Verse 18, God says, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die. And that's exactly what God has done. He said to the wicked, thou shalt surely die. God has warned them again and again and again and again. He said to Adam in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Twice in the book of Ezekiel in chapter 18, you find these words, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. In the New Testament, you come to the book of James, chapter 1, verse 15, and God says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it's finished, bringeth forth death. God told us in 1 Corinthians 15, 22, He made it plain, for as in Adam, all die, and the whole world is in Adam. God said, tell them. Tell them. Tell the people you work with. Tell the people you go to school with. Tell your family. Tell the guy where you buy groceries or pump your gas. Tell them. Tell them. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about His death, burial, and resurrection. Tell them there's hope for every lost soul. Nobody has to go to hell. God has gone to great lengths to warn lost men. He sent prophet after prophet, and they were abused and tortured and murdered, and God would send another one. He wrote the Bible that we might know Him. He gave us His Son. He's revealed Himself in His creation, in His Word, in His Son, and today He reveals Himself through us. We're supposed to be little Christ. We're supposed to be Christ-like Christians. We're supposed to be little Christ. Therefore, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We are supposed to be bringing men and women of Christ. Our lives are supposed to be a reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are supposed to be different from this broken world that we're living in. Amen, Brother Mike. God wants lost souls to be saved. Think about your own testimony. Somebody told you. It might have been in church. It might have been your mom and daddy. It might have been a soul winner at work. It might have been a bus captain. Somebody told you. Somebody cared enough about your soul to bring you the gospel. I started going to that Baptist church. They started coming by my house. Thursday night was visitation night. Somebody's going to show up at my door. I told Mickey Richardson years later, Mickey, thank you for not giving up on this old religious lost soul. I told Roy Brooks. Roy Brooks taught me about soul winning. Roy Brooks witnessed to me. Roy Brooks was the kind of guy we'd go on visitation and we'd go up to the sixth floor of the hospital and he'd put me on one side of the elevator and he'd get on the other side and all the way up he'd witness. Hey, Brother Mike, isn't it great to be saved? Isn't it marvelous to know it's just in Jesus Christ and all you have to do is realize you're a sinner and trust in Christ as your only hope. All the way up he'd witness to the whole elevator full of folks. I may have told you about him. I don't know. He's the kind of fellow he wouldn't go into a liquor store, but he did on the streets of Birmingham, Alabama, fold a track up into an airplane and fly it in the door of the liquor store. Old Roy Brooks, a witness to a lamppost. Preacher missed him one day walking down the street and he turned around. And there was an old bum sitting on the curb. Roy Brooks had his New Testament out telling about Jesus. And I told old Roy, Roy, thank you for not giving up on me. My pastor would come back, later became my pastor. And I remember telling him one time, I'm not going to believe you just because you're quoting Scripture. The devil himself will quote Scripture. I told you last night, I heard it and I heard it and I heard it and I heard it. And then thank God one day I heard it. And he became my pastor. And after that, if he told me it was going to rain, I went to get my umbrella because he's my preacher. I did what the preacher said. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to believe him. I believed him. a preacher gave me, tried to pass on to me a zeal for souls, a burden for the lost, a love for God, and a trust in His Word. God reveals Himself through us today. Let me ask you something, church. How's your light shining? How's your light shining? How's your light shine when you get around those guys at school, fellas? How's your light shine at work? How's your light shining? God wants people to know. Calvary cries, look! Look how much I want you to be saved. Calvary exposes the heart of God to a lost and broken world. Look! Look! Look how much I love you! The native in Africa, he walked the same path every day to go to work. One day lightning struck. The forest between his house and his job burned, but you could still see the outline of the path. So he kept walking through there. Of course, he smelled the burn and the ashes would get on his bare feet. But he walked through there right after the fire and he saw a mama hen that was singed. And he took his toe and nudged her a little bit. She was dead. And out from under her ran four little chicks that she had saved from the fire. That's a mama's love. What about Calvary's love? Nobody ever loved me like Jesus loves me. Wow. 2 Peter 3:9, we told you that God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He says in Ezekiel 33:11, God told Ezekiel to say it, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil way, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Why will you die? Why will you die and go to hell when you don't have to? Because Jesus has done everything that needs to be done for you to have eternal life. I wonder how many would respond if we would go tell them that. I wonder how many in Prattville, how many in Millbrook, how many in Montgomery are waiting on somebody to love them enough to tell them, to be compassionate enough to bring them the gospel. I wonder how many we could win to Christ. I believe we could win some. Someone said, and I believe it, that God loves people so much that He'd rather die than let them go. God's gone to great lengths to warn them. Thou shalt surely die. And He says to Ezekiel, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Do you see it in that verse? Do you hear it? Do you see the responsibility that God has given us? If I tell them and you don't tell them, their blood is going to be required at your hands. God has warned the world. Now He expects His children to do the exact same thing. This is just our reasonable service. This is not above and beyond the call of duty. This is for every child of God. A fellow told me one time, I just don't believe that a preacher ought to let a brand new convert go out on visitation. He needs to grow up some. He needs to be taught some first. Let me tell you, God will take the stumbling and bumbling of a new convert and win more people to Christ than us old codgers that won't get up and go anymore. Now, I agree you ought to pair him up with somebody who knows how to tell it, but let him go. Turn him loose. He's got a zeal that we once had. He's got a desire that we once knew. He's got a love for the Lord that we once had. God has warned the wicked. Now He expects us to do the same thing. And He will, and we will not be guiltless before God. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, his blood will I require at thine hands. Tell them, watchmen, be on the job. Don't let your attention be drawn somewhere else. Tell them, keep the main thing, souls, souls, souls. God has given us great responsibility, a responsibility to be the watchman on the wall, to cry out, to warn the lost souls, hell is real, to tell them what God told us to tell them. And God will not hold us guiltless. Invite them to Sunday school. Bring them to church. Reach out to the lost. Compel them to come in. Win them to Christ. Their soul is at stake. Do you hear me? Their soul is at stake. Justified saying tonight, I'll tell you why I came. I came to see a soul get saved. Why did you come? How many souls did you bring with you that need to get saved? I preach a lot of revivals. Don't see as many people saved in revivals as we used to. Let me tell you why. People don't bring lost souls to revivals anymore. I understand a revival is for the church. But a revived church always has a new burden for the lost. Always. 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 We must be on our post then. And we cannot afford to allow our attention to be diverted. Johnny, come up here. I want you to help me with something. Steve, come up here and help me. Johnny, come up here and help me. John, come help me. No. You too. All right. You guys are firemen, okay? And your job is putting out fires. That's what firemen do, right? All right. Well, you're not putting out fires. Your job is to cook. Yeah. You're the cook for the whole crowd. Not easy crowd to please. That's a big responsibility. You got to keep the kitchen, you know, spotless and all that too. You're the cook. You got it?
I'm on it.
All right. Your job... Well, you're not putting out fires. Your job is to make sure that the engine is tip-top shape, ready to go, oiled up, greased up, gassed up, ready to go. You are in charge of the engine. You got it? All right. Well, all right. You sure?
Yes, sir.
I don't need to do it again. Okay. All right. Johnny, come here. Don't hold back, man. You got a big responsibility here. You have to keep the station clean. You got to clean up after these pigs over here. All right? That's your job. Make sure the floors are clean. Make sure the garbage is out. Make sure the sleeping area is clean and the area where you hang out is clean. Okay? That's what you're going to do. All right? All right. Steve?
Got any grant?
No. I'm giving you a promotion.
Okay.
You are in charge. You have to make sure that these guys are doing their jobs.
That's my job.
You're the boss.
That's right.
You're the man. I pick them right, don't I, buddy?
That's right.
Amen. You make sure that Johnny's getting the cooking. You make sure that John's getting the engine ready. You make sure that Johnny's got the fire engine going. You, if it don't work, it's coming down on you. You know that. All right, you're the man. All right. Now let's see if we got it. Johnny, what is your job?
My job is to cook.
All right. And what is your job? Don't tell me you forgot it.
Make sure the engines are tip-top.
Somebody help me. And what is your job?
I clean up after the pig.
And what is your job?
Boss.
None of them are right. What's their job? They're firemen. Their job is putting out fires. Your job is to be a watchman on the wall. That's your job. And we get caught up in everything else. We get caught up in making a living. We get caught up in raising our kids. Necessary things. But we forget the main thing. And we let people die and go to hell. And we will stand before God with bloody hands. Good preaching, guys. Thank you. Don't worry, I've done that a lot of times and nobody's ever gotten it right. And I'm glad because it sure would blow my illustration if they did. What's your job? Your job is to be a watchman on the wall. faithful to church, part of being a watchman. Tithing, all about being a watchman. Teaching Sunday school, yeah, being the watchman. Witnessing, loving. This is a loving church. I appreciate that about you. It's all part of the job. We're watchmen. You say, Brother Mike, I'm just not gifted in that. There is a gift of giving, and people that have a gift of giving don't find it hard to give. But that doesn't release all the rest of us from the responsibility to give if we don't have the gift. And I do believe that God gifts some more than others for evangelism. But that doesn't relieve the others of the responsibility to tell lost souls. You're a watchman on the wall. And we get caught up in everything else and let lost souls slip through our fingers and die and go to a Christless eternity. Bloody hands. Elijah on Mount Carmel, 1 Kings 18:21, said, "How long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him." Elijah issued a challenge. He drew a line in the dust. He said, "Step up, man up, make a choice. If God is God, serve Him. And if Baal is God, then go serve Him. Make up your mind." The sad thing is, the rest of that verse says, and the people answered him, not a word. I believe that's where we find the church today. The challenge is laid down. If God is God, follow Him. You don't follow Him just on Sunday morning. You don't follow Him just on Sunday night. You don't follow Him just on Wednesday night. You follow Him 24/7, 365. He owns you. Lock, stock, and barrel. You are bought with a price, and you are not your own. And God has given us our orders. Watchmen, tell them, tell them, tell them. The challenge is laid down. If God's God, follow Him, and the church stands there mute, unmoved, unmoving, comfortable, satisfied, apathetic, and pathetic. That's why we need a revival. That's why we need to keep having revivals. The church stands there while the world goes to hell. If God be God, follow Him. And if you're following Him, Jesus said, "I'll make you fishers of men." If you're not fishing, you're not following. Did you get that? Jesus said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." If you're not fishing, you're not following. It's not a problem to pass out a tract. It doesn't take a whole lot of courage to invite somebody to church. And if you really love people, it's not hard to witness to them. Because if you really love them, you don't want them to go to hell. How long has it been since you witnessed to a lost soul? How long has it been since you invited someone to Sunday school or church? How long has it been since you prayed for someone that you knew was lost? How long has it been since you led a soul to Christ? How long has it been since you wept over the reality of hell because you know somebody that's going there? How long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. A grave responsibility. We have a grave responsibility. But I'm afraid the church is not faithful to the responsibility that God has given us. Warn them. Warn them. Do you know that in the 1970s, that 10 of the largest churches in America, seven of the 10 largest churches in America were independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist churches in the 1970s. Out of those seven, last I knew, there's two that still are in the top 10, and one of them doesn't call themselves Baptist anymore. Where's the church? If the church ever wakes up, she'll be like a roaring lion. She'll be like the tide rolling in. Oh, how desperately we need a revival. I'll give you the last thing, the results. God said, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his sins, but his blood will I require at thine hand. There's some tragic results there. God said, if I warn lost man, and he has, but you don't warn them, two horrible things are going to happen. Number one, that man's going to die and go to hell for the lack of a witness. He may not have gotten saved if he heard. But oh my soul, somebody should have told him. Because he might have gotten saved. Two terrible things. Number one, that fellow's going to die and go to hell. Number two, we're going to stand before God. And God's going to say, why didn't you tell him? Why didn't you love me? Why didn't you believe me? Why didn't you love him? The Bible says there's going to be a day in heaven when God wipes away all tears. Somebody said, there's not going to be any tears in heaven, then what's God wiping away? There's going to be tears in heaven at first. But then there's going to come a time when God's going to wipe them away. When is that going to be? After the great white throne judgment. And I believe with all my heart that believers will be there not to be judged, but to see with those we could have won to Christ if we had told him. Wow. Bloody hands. Bloody hands. One day we'll stand before God to give an account, and some will stand there that day with bloody hands. Bloody hands because they didn't warn the lost. Maybe they were too busy. Maybe they felt like they didn't know enough. Maybe they thought that was a preacher's job. But it doesn't matter. Here's what God says. Bloody hands. Bloody hands. We can make our excuses. Doesn't change the fact that we're accountable. God says, I'm not going to hold you guiltless. Bloody hands. It may be that they thought they didn't have time. It may be that they were just too lazy. Maybe they were too carnal. Maybe they figured that God was going to give them plenty of time, and they put it off until someone died without knowing. God says, bloody hands, bloody hands. Maybe they were afraid. Maybe there was social pressure, peer pressure put on them. Maybe you come up with a lot of maybes. God said, I'm going to hold you accountable. How dare you be a disobedient child? How dare you declare your love for me and not love me? You say, Brother Mike, this is tough. Not if you're a soul winner. You're faithful to win souls. You're said, amen, Brother Mike, amen. But if we will warn them, even if we don't win them, verse 19 tells us, thou hast delivered thy soul. It says, yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, ye shall die in your, and he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. If we simply warn them, if we do everything we can to win them, if we win them or not, if we do everything we can to win them, God says, way to go, son. Way to go. Way to go, faithful steward. Way to go, child of God. Way to go. Thank you for telling them about me. You know, when it comes down to it, we can't win them. That's the Holy Spirit's job. All we can do is warn them. God says, will you warn them? Hey, watchman. Watchman. Hey, it's your job. It's your responsibility. It's your duty. Tell them. We won't win everybody we witness to. I know that. But we won't win anybody if we don't go. Bloody hands. God has gone to great lengths to win lost man. He said, if I tell them, then I want you to tell them. Or else bloody hands. So here's the question. Are you warning lost souls? Or are you telling them? It's been more than 40 years ago now, and I'll close with this. My son was just a baby, and he's 43 years old now. So it's been over 40 years ago. I remember it like it was yesterday. And I remember the conviction like it was 5 minutes ago. My pastor was saved in a church in Flint, Michigan. And we all sang in a quartet. And the pastor and the quartet went up to Flint to do a meeting. And Jackie's Aunt Mary and Uncle Pasco lived in Detroit. And they drove up that Sunday morning. And they were in the service. We sang, preacher preached. And Aunt Mary and Uncle Pasco took us out to lunch that afternoon. Uncle Pasco was a truck driver. We talked about driving trucks. We talked about the cousins. We got caught up on everybody. But I never told him about Jesus. We finished the meeting. We came home. 2 months later, we got the word. Uncle Pasco was dead. And God broke my heart. I didn't tell him. I should have told him. I didn't tell him. I would think that every one of us here have an Uncle Pasco. But when Uncle Pasco died, and God stabbed me with the Word of God in my heart, I purposed, by the grace of God, I won't let another one die without hearing. I won't let another uncle or brother or sister die without an opportunity to be saved. I'm not going to let another one that I meet on the street die and go to hell without somebody telling them about Jesus. Bloody hands. Bloody hands! Bloody hands! Oh God, His blood will I require at Thine hands. Stand with me, please. Dear God, break our hearts. Oh God, break our hearts. God, forgive us for letting those souls slip through our fingers. God, forgive us for being timid or hard-hearted or preoccupied. Oh, God, help us to keep the main thing the main thing. Dear God, hell is real. And souls are dying every day and going to that awful place. And many will go because we didn't tell them. God, forgive us. Oh, God, forgive us. And oh, God, make us soul winners. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.